If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 this morning. This morning we're concluding our series on Jesus' parables. Today's parable talks about work. And specifically, our work for God. Now, for some people, this might not excite you. When you hear the word work, what you think of is dull, boring, something you have to do in order to make a living for you and your family. And besides, it's Sunday, and you really probably don't want to even think about work until Monday morning. Well, let me tell you this right off. I'm not here to lay a guilt trip on you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I won't do it. And let me assure you also that I'm not thinking of that mentality that says, you know, work, work, and even more work, or the work till you drop mentality. The way I heard it growing up in church was a phrase that was often repeated, and it was said, it's better to burn out than rust out in our service to God. Now, I can assure you that that is wrong, and that is unbiblical. So that's not where I'm coming from at all. This morning, in the parable that Jesus told, it was a parable that was right near the end of his ministry here on earth. Last week, when we looked at a parable, the first part of Matthew chapter 25, it was a parable that talked to us about living dangerously by being indifferent towards the grace of God. It helped us to understand how to gain entry into the kingdom of God. In this parable that follows the previous one, Jesus is talking about life in the kingdom while we're here on earth until he comes back for us. And specifically, it's going to talk to us about the importance of labor or serving God during our time here on earth. And what we learn right off, overall through this entire thing, the main truth that he speaks to us is that you are accountable for the work that God gives you to do. So follow along as I read the parable, beginning at verse 14 in Matthew chapter 25. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Work for God is part of who you are as a Christian. For God gives work to every believer. The parable begins with the word again, which refers back to the subject that was found in the first verse of the chapter, which is the kingdom of God. It starts out in verse 14 by calling his servants. Now, the type of servant that he was referring to here is one who is bound to another by debt or who was purchased by the master. And his obligation as a servant was to do the wishes and do the work of his master. It's often referred to as a bond servant. And here's the truth. Every Christian is a bond servant of God. That's what the Bible teaches us. For instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says this: "You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Having God's work to do is part and parcel of being a Christian. Listen, it's not an optional feature. It's not a convenient addition when you have the time or you have the inclination. It's part and parcel of being a Christian. And zeroing even more specifically, it is part of what God gives you specifically to do. It says in verse 14, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey." So it seems like this wealthy merchant had 3 administrative servants. And he was going away for a lengthy period of time. And he would give them responsibility to manage some of his affairs while he was gone. And this time he was there, he gave to them his petty cash. It was a total of 8 talents. Now, talents in the Bible is a little confusing because it's both a measure of weight as well as money. So it's a little hard. And if that's not confusing enough, trying to figure out what the actual cost from that economy to today is really, really tough. Here's the most helpful way I have found. 1 talent equals 1.5 years of wages for an unskilled laborer. So 8 talents would equal 12 years of wages for an unskilled laborer at that time. If you think about that, this wealthy merchant had a pretty good petty cash amount, didn't he? It was not a little bit. Well, in the same way that this man gave his bond servants this money and he gave to them the work and the responsibility of managing it for them, so too God gives to us spiritual abilities to use in his kingdom work. And he fits that work, those abilities, to the work that he gives us to do. That's what the Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. He says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." The Apostle Paul backs it up with these words from 1 Corinthians 12. "To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." You see, God has provided spiritual abilities or spiritual gifts to each one of his children, each one who have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for their eternal life, children of God. They have been given spiritual gifts and abilities. The list of those is the easiest way to remember this is there's 2 12s and 2 4s. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. two 12s, two 4s. In those four chapters, you will find the list of spiritual abilities and gifts that God has given to his children for his kingdom work. Each one of them is provided for us to do the work that God has called us to do, that he has provided before the foundations of the world. Listen, no believer is too young, and no believer is too old. No believer is too inexperienced or lacks training. God says, oh, no, you don't have to. God doesn't do that. Each one of us is accountable to use the spiritual gifts and abilities that God has given us in his kingdom work. Well, when it comes right down to it, given this reality, you only have two options. I only have two options. Option number one is to be responsible. The master of this story, of the servants, as he prepared to leave, he distributes the money. And he gives to one 5. To the second one, he gives 2. And to the third servant, he gives 1. It says in verse 16, the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. Notice right away, the first words there were at once. There was no delay. There was no procrastination. He put his money to work at once. He was creative and he took responsible risks given the responsibility he was given by his master. Now, the parable doesn't tell us how long the master was away. It just says he was gone a long time. But during that entire time, these two servants were responsible. Well, one of the spiritual lessons at this point in this parable is this. Now is the time. Get working now and keep serving until our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns for us. Just like those two servants took responsibility with what they had been given, we are to also be responsible to God for what he has given us to work in his kingdom. We need to make sure that in this time, while we are here on earth, we are doing the kingdom work, relying upon the power of God, his spirit, and his wisdom in order to do the work that he has prepared for us to do. Well, that's option number one. Option number two is be irresponsible. Those are the only two options available to us. Look back at verse 18. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now this servant decided to play it safe. He didn't want to risk making a mistake. Some people, as I read through this over the last couple of weeks, observed that at least he didn't steal the money, and he made sure it was safe for the master's return. But that was only a small part of his responsibility. He was supposed to use the money, invest it, so it would grow. Look in verse 26. That's where it tells us that. His master replied to this man, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. The spiritual truth for us is that sitting on the abilities God has given you and not taking advantage of the opportunities is being irresponsible. Now, some people are going to protest inside because you're not going to say that out loud. I get that. They'll say, well, you know what? I really don't know. You know, I'll take your word for it that God has given me spiritual abilities and gifts, but I don't know what they are. And if I do, I'm not very good at it. But as we've already seen, God gives to every person spiritual abilities and gifts for his service. So now is the time to use them, and to use them in the opportunities that are in front of you. If you want to know what your spiritual gift and ability is, God will reveal it to you. He will reveal it and help through the spiritual leadership of the church to help you to discover what they are. But listen, it happens as you are serving. Don't sit and wait and go, well, God hasn't made it clear to me what I should do. Serve God. He will make it clear, abundantly clear to you, what your spiritual gift is and what service he has for you as you are serving him. Some have equated that to, it's easier, a big ocean liner. It's easier to turn an ocean liner around in the direction it ought to go when it's moving than it is from a standstill. So get moving and allow God to move you in the direction that he has for you to go. Well, so God has given us work and the abilities to accomplish that to every believer. And you have only two options to respond to. You will be responsible to that, or you'll be irresponsible. And I remind you that each one of us is accountable for the work that God gives us to do. So, what happens because of our choice? What will occur? Jesus tells us that if we are responsible, we will see gain. We pick that up in verse 19 of our text. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. Listen to the master's response. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Then come and share your master's happiness. Then the man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Notice right away that this responsible service was both recognized and praised by God. And did you notice as I read that the master's response was exactly the same to both of them? It wasn't based upon the amount that they had received. It wasn't even based upon their abilities. Gaining 5 or 2 talents was not the issue. Their responsible service was the issue. And it was praised and recognized by the master. In fact, not only was it recognized, but greater work opportunities were given because of their faithfulness. Because responsible service in the few things that God gives to you leads to greater responsibility and greater things in his kingdom. But also notice that their responsible service was rewarded with a joyful relationship with the master. The short phrase at the end of both of the master's comments to them was, come and share your master's happiness. Their responsible service to their master was rewarded with a grateful relationship with the master. Listen, can you imagine making God happy because of your service to him? For you see, when we praise God and we are given greater opportunities to serve him, The happiness with God is ours. There's an old hymn. Well, I don't know how old it is, but it's older than me, so it's old. It's called, There's Joy in Serving Jesus. And the chorus kind of captures this parable. It says, there is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs within my heart. Every moment, every hour, as I draw upon his power, there is joy, joy, joy that never shall depart. Now, I know that it is scary to stretch ourselves into new areas of service. I even know full well that sometimes the work that we do for God can be very difficult. But at the same time, until Christ returns for us, one of the ways that we share his joy, and he shares his joy with us and makes our joy complete, is through our service or our work in his kingdom. So let me ask, as part of this church body, do you want to be used by God in significant ways? Do you want to see the blessing and the praise of God fall upon you? Do you want to have a wonderful, joy-filled relationship with Almighty God? Do you want God to use you to impact another life for eternity? Well, then be a responsible servant of his. Don't let the inferior stuff of life get in the way. Don't crowd out your life with the good things so that you can't respond to the best thing, which is serving God. Choose to be responsible like the servant now, where you are, and what God has set before you to do now. Being responsible results in gain, significant and eternal gain for you and many others. But there is another option, and that is being irresponsible. And there are results from that choice as well. Go down to verse 24 in our parable. Then the man who had received one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him, the master said, and give it to the one who has the 10 talents, for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, this servant had been with the master for quite some time. And this servant knew that his master expected responsible work, and he knew that he was supposed to produce results. And he tries to excuse himself by demonstrating that at least he kept the master's stuff safe. He hadn't run off with it, or he hadn't wasted it. But then he does something I found a little curious. He even shifted the blame to his master for being hard and for having expectations that were too high. And I had to admit that this servant had some guts. But his irresponsibility was recognized and condemned by God. His irresponsibility was punished with the loss of what he had and what he could have had in the future. His irresponsibility was severely disciplined. Now, I know some of you went right to the last line of verse 30. Those words are fairly difficult. Some might conclude that it's referring to hell. But remember, the parable is about life in the kingdom, not about getting into the kingdom. If this were about getting into the kingdom, then this would say that you could earn your salvation or you could have varying degrees of salvation in heaven. It does not. The phrasing that Jesus used here in this parable at this point was a hyperbole, an exaggeration as a figure of speech to make a point. This part of the parable tells us that the irresponsibility of the servant results in loss here and now, but also in the kingdom of God to come. At the judgment seat of Christ, where the eternal rewards will be handed out to all of God's children. The loss that they would experience here and now is not receiving the full approval or the full blessing of God in their lives. And they will not have the joy of the Lord that comes to us because of our service in his kingdom. For we cannot experience those apart from being faithful, responsible servants to God, doing the kingdom work that he has called us to do. J.I. Packer, who was a theologian, he wrote in his book, Your Father Loves You, these words. What work does Christ set his servants to do? The way that they serve him, he tells them, is by becoming the slaves to their fellow servants and being willing to do literally anything, however costly, irksome, or undignified, in order to help them. This is what love means, as he himself showed at the Last Supper when he played the slave's part and washed the disciples' feet. When the New Testament speaks of ministering to the saints, it means not primarily preaching to them, but devoting time, trouble, and substance to giving them all the practical help possible. The essence of Christian service is loyalty to the King, expressing itself in care for his servants. So let me encourage you to be a responsible servant and get off of the bench and into the spiritual workforce of the kingdom of God. We are called by Jesus, our Savior and our Master, to a life of labor. And he calls you and I to be accountable. We are accountable to God for the work that he has given for us to do. But the good news is you don't have to do that work all alone. At a horse pulling competition at a county fair, the champion horse team pulled a sled with 4,500 pounds on it. The runner-up just behind him at 4,400 pounds. And then to the delight of everybody at this county fair, the organizers decided that they would hitch those two teams together for another pull. And those two teams pulled 12,000 pounds, 3,000 pounds more than their combined weights that they pulled earlier. Folks, that is an example of what God will do in and through a church when people are hitched and working together as a team in his kingdom work. So, as you spend a few minutes with God this morning, I want you to thank him that he has given to you both the ability to serve him, to accomplish things that count and last forever in people's lives, and he gives to you joy as you do it. And then I want you to ask yourself the question, am I being responsible or am I being irresponsible with the abilities and the work that God has given for me to do? I'm not looking for excuses, and certainly God isn't, because he knows when we are. Just honestly evaluate where you are right now in your service to God. And then, when you have discovered where that is, I want you to present to God, be committed to God, to continue to be or decide to be responsible to the grace that God has given you, to the spiritual gifts and abilities he has given to you, to the work that he has prepared for you to do. Be a responsible servant, not because you have to, but because of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, your thankfulness to him and all that he has done for us. I can't imagine any excuse that will let you off the hook for that. For the person who died for us, to redeem us for all eternity. For God who sacrificed his one and only son to an undeserving servant like me and you. I don't think this is an unreasonable request. He's given us everything we need for faith and godly living. That means that there is nothing that God will call you to do that he doesn't equip you to do. Nothing. God calls you to do it, you can do it. Not because you're so good, but because God is good and will provide everything you need to accomplish that. All he needs is for us to be willing. I pray that today you will choose to be responsible servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has called you to do, and do it now. Let's pray. Lord, you know how busy we are. You know that living in this world and trying to just exist gives to us an awful lot of opportunities, a lot of things that are good, a lot of things that present themselves to us. And you know, Father, how easy it is for us to follow the path of the good and unfortunately leave you behind in the process. Father, would you give us wisdom in our lives to know the difference between what is right, what is good, what is best? Would you help us to make wise and good decisions that our lives lived for you would be reflective in the choices that we make? God, if we're too busy to serve, we're too busy. For those, Father, who find themselves there this morning, I pray that you would give them wisdom and insight as to how to extricate themselves from those things in their lives that are preventing them from being in service to you. I also pray this morning, Father, for those who don't care. For those who are content to just come on Sunday mornings and sit in the pew and then go home and do their own thing. I pray, Father, that you would convict them of their irresponsibility to your kingdom work. I pray, oh God, that you would help them to get off of the bench and get into the game of serving you in your kingdom work. Father, there is so much work that can be done. There are people here and in our community who are in desperate needs, both for their physical needs, but also for their spiritual needs. And we're just scratching the surface. God, I pray that you would help them to get into the game. I pray for those, Father, who are in the game, who are weary, because they're doing a lot of work. They probably are doing the work of a couple different people who should be also helping, but no one is there, and so they are faithfully serving them. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them not to be weary in their service to you. I pray, oh God, that you would give them wisdom to know when too much is too much. For, Father, I don't want to see them burn out. neither do you. So, Father, help us in this area as we seek to serve you until you come back for us. Would you find us and find in this church responsible servants of yours, all for your honor and your glory? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.